Hey Fadies, I'm Dee and Brad, and this is Chapter 5, Episode 2 of The Fate of Ison. Thanks for listening. Alrighty, we're just gonna jump straight into the recap, so here we go! Last time, in the fallout of the Empress's execution and the collapse of the Empire, Banfor spent a week building up his position as the biggest gang leader in Stonemaw, essentially making himself king of the Vice District. Meanwhile, Marley spent her nights instigating a musical propaganda campaign to sway the common folk in the name of Queen Shan, and her days looking after the Necropoticon Inn, her new home away from home. Then, a call to action. Okay, so Marley, one day you are just working the bar at Necropoticon. It's a quiet day. The chaos has quelled quite a bit over this past week. There's still lots of people involved in little power struggles and things around, but I mean the general day-to-day street level chaos has stopped. Like the rioting has stopped, the random muggings and burglaries have stopped a lot, and someone runs in. It's a regular. She is a tiefling woman called Marthel. And
Marthel, take that crap out of your mouth before you speak. I've told you this before.
Sorry, it's my gimmick.
I'm considering doing a voice by putting my hand in my mouth.
Just hey, remember, go I am filming you, and if this looks good, it will make YouTube.
Yeah, I won't do it. So Marthel runs into the bar and she says, Marley, there's a man standing in the middle of the city. He's calling you out. He's saying, Marley Craff and Banfor what? Marley Craff and Banfor what? I'm here for you. It's just a man, just like a human man. He's just there standing still. He's just been yelling for hours.
Does he look angry or?
It's hard to tell. He's just yelling your name.
Dude, I'm asking, do I need to go in hot?
To be honest, I would.
Yeah, she leaps up on top of the bar and she's like, it's my moment. I knew it would come. And then just like leaps down from the bar and runs upstairs and like starts strapping in. Because she's just been wearing like her usual gear. So she's like, you know, she's like putting on her leathers again and like putting her daggers into her boots again. It's like a dress up montage happening, strapping on her rapier. And then like the last thing she does is like sweeps her cloak around her and then puts her saxophone carefully across her back and kind of pats it. And is like, ready to go, old friend. And then like right as she goes to walk out the door, she turns around, looks at the Necropoticon, like actually grabs her bag, which has been ready the whole time, like to go, but she's been using the place as like her home. But this time she actually grabs the bag, puts it on her back and is like, just in case. And then like as she leaves the door, just says, just Tyler?
Yeah, Marley.
Just in case I, for whatever reason, don't come back.
What? What do you mean you don't? What? You'll come back. You're my new mum.
Things happen, Tyler. Things happen, and wolves die, and
yeah,
life is hard. So, just in case. And she gives him a big hug, and she whispers in his ear, there's some money under the mattress, but don't tell Paul. It's probably enough to buy the Necropoticon.
His eyes go super wide. Like, okay.
I'm leaving it for you. Maybe you want to take my room and look after it just in case.
Yeah. And he just bolts. He just leaves the bar completely unattended.
Yeah. Because I'm assuming because you said the Necropoticon was kind of like, bar.
Yeah, mid sort of level. Like, not a great place, but also not a dive.
Yeah, so I left, like, I don't know, like, I don't know, 500 gold or something under the mattress. Like, just ridiculous amounts of money. Because we have ridiculous amounts of money. And I was planning on, like, maybe trying to buy it. So I've just left the money there.
Okay. Sweet. Cool. And Banfor, you are lording over your kingdom lazily.
Bamfor is in a reclining chair that's forming part of the barricade, cleaning his fingernails with a dirty knife. Just to set the scene.
Yep, you get a tap on your shoulder from behind.
Bamfor throws the knife over his shoulder.
Hang on, dick save. Oh, 19. Yeah, you hear it hit cobblestones.
Mm. All right, Jareen.
You turn around and there is a dwarf man that you know called Pikmin.
All right, and he's mate. Like,
Bamfor, sorry to bother you, but there's a man yelling your name, middle of the city. He's been yelling for hours. People are sort of avoiding him, but maybe you want to check on what it is?
Well, I mean, I've got bigger things to deal with, mate. I mean, first and foremost, I've dropped my knife.
Oh, here.
He bends and picks it up for you within a half second. Like, he's very practiced at doing whatever you say whenever you say it.
Oh, well, look at that. Things are coming together today. All right, well, how many of the boys are around, eh?
I don't know, I don't really keep track of the manpower, but...
Alright, we'll give Jared a yell and get 30 or so of the boys around and we'll go for a little walk, eh?
Okay.
And he scuttles away, little foot scraping on cobblestones as he goes.
Bamfor resumes cleaning his nails, eventually taking off his boots and dealing with some corns and verrucas there as well. mice flying over his knuckles every now and then. Within the Vice District, you'll notice a lot of new constructs up the sides of buildings and around fire escapes as massive nests of mice begin to infest the place, completely under the protection of the Dice Gang in Bamfor.
Nice. I like it. One little aside is that you will have noticed that the mice, with each passing day, get like infinitesimally smarter and more human-like in their behavior.
Good. I was hoping this would happen.
But it is only mice. It hasn't stretched to other animals. It's just mice.
Mm. Cool.
And in a different part of the world, also pigeons.
Cute.
For reasons.
For reasons.
Cute.
Cool. Okay, so eventually Pikmin scuttles back to your position and he has just a random assortment of like four big burly guys behind him. She goes,
this is what I was able to find on short notice.
Well, I mean, is that 30? Genuine question.
He looks back and he takes a comically long time to count four. and then he goes,
no, it's four or five. Four or five, thereabouts.
Well, it's gotta be close. All right, well, you're pretty fucking useless, so you go get Jareen and tell him to catch us up, eh? All right, well, let's go do a murder, boys, I guess. And Bamfor, with the boys, heads on out. Axe nonchalantly over his shoulder.
Okay, cool. So you and Marley both approach the center of the city from different directions. You notice a large gathering of people, and you certainly, even from a distance, hear a human or you hear a voice yelling, "Bad for what? Marley Craff! Bad for what? Marley Craff, show yourselves! I know you're in this city! Bad for what? Marley Craff!" And the crowd's sort of gathering more and more and more people, and then you sort of become part of the crowd as you approach it.
Bamfor lingers and loiters at the back in the shadows, sort of in a doorway, watching everyone, leaning and watching, and eventually bumps one of the boys, hands him a little dagger and goes, go give him a poke or something, alright, just see what he does, give him a poke, just in a face or something, not too bad, but just give him a poke, eh?
Okay, boss.
Does Marley see this?
You tell me.
I am in a doorway.
Nope, she rolled a 13. Probably wouldn't.
Because she'd I'd say I'm with a 13. You might have noticed the arrival of a group of people, a group of large people from the Vice District. Banfor, your boy sort of barges his way through the crowd, just like knocking people down and doesn't care about them whatsoever. Stomps a few into the ground, and then he just disappears from your view through the crowd. And you hear, Banfor, you're not Banfor, what? And then that's it. And then you hear the whole crowd go, and then back to just like crowd noise.
Banfor turns to the rest of the three and goes, well, that was very impolite, wasn't it? Do you see him knock over that lady? Well, I'll have words with him if he's still alive. Oi, you two, off you go. Go on, give him a poke, see what happens. Hold hands or something. I don't want to lose. Look, all right, hold hands or something, all right? Okay.
Marley, having heard that you're not Banfor, what, would be like, okay, something's not good. And like, and then hearing the crowd going, ooh, being like, okay, something's really not good. And like already feeling responsible for a whole lot of stuff that has happened, she'd be pushing her way to the front at this point.
Okay. When you get to the front, so you'll notice that there is a very large radius that's been left open around what looks like just a regular human man. He's just in sort of normal commoner's clothes, just a regular height, 5'10"-ish, like short brown hair, nothing remarkable about him whatsoever. But there is a very large, brutish individual dead at the man's feet.
Okay. And I turn to the person next to me and go, what happened there?
That man walked out of the crowd, and then the guy yelled, you're not banned for what? And then they went to stab the man, and then he just sort of touched him and he fell down. He hasn't moved.
Touched him and fell down.
Like, hit him, but didn't really look like he hit him very hard. It just sort of swung his fist at him and then he fell down.
Magic? Question mark?
I don't know.
When she says either. Question mark, not like.
I don't know.
And Marley sighs, and she's about to step forward when she sees Banfor, assumably two guys, come through the crowd holding hands.
Yeah, two guys come out of the crowd holding hands. They look very similar to the brute who's downed.
Yeah.
And go. Then the man yells, I don't know what you're playing at, Banfor, what? I know you're here. And then the two men walk up to him, and they draw weapons on him. And yeah, you see him sort of, the man, strike them, but it doesn't look like he's punching very hard, but they both just like drop in a heartbeat. He just like, just a lazy punch to each of them, and they both just drop to the ground.
Molly wants to cast Detect Thoughts. She knows it's a risk, because he'll know, but she wants to know. She's going to go over there anyway. So she figures while he's not paying attention to her, it's her best chance of trying to get surface thoughts. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So he has to save a wisdom save that is 16 now. Because
okay.
I buffed myself.
It's only a 7. So his thoughts are that he is very impatient. He is consumed with the idea of vengeance against the two of you. All he wants in this city is you. Like, you are the reason he's here. He has been on quite a journey to be here to kill you.
Okay. So I am going to use my action to dive deeper.
Okay, and that he knows that you're in, right?
Yeah, he knows, but yeah. I am going to dive deeper, particularly into the why. Like, see if I can figure out why, what we've done
okay.
to him.
What you know? Does he? What do you have to do for that?
It's another wisdom saving throw.
Okay. 19 plus 2, 21.
Yeah, the spell ends now, so I don't get anything because he's now realised I'm there.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He starts looking around the crowd and going, nice try, Marley Craft. Nice try indeed. Show yourself, you coward.
Can't Banfor see him from where he is?
No. Not while you're lurking in a doorway behind the crowd? I mean, you are quite tall though, but I mean, not that tall.
Amphor turns to his last remaining thug.
He's shaking in his boots.
You know what I'm going to ask you, don't you, mate? It's not very nice.
I do, and it's not.
It's not very nice at all. Right, so there used to be a baker about four streets over. He did a very fun meat pie, and he put some sort of spice on it. It was very nice. If you find him, two or three of those, bring them back, or I'll cut your nose off. All right. See you in a bit. Bamfor throws off into the crowd with a bag of half bricks, tossing one up and down nonchalantly until he gets eyes on this man.
Yeah.
Yep. I would say, Bamfor, that the crowd parts for you because you're such an imposing figure, and it is very noticeable to this man. So he sees the crowd parting and he says, "Finally, the showtime."
And Marley would have stepped forward at this point, but she'd be like, so she'll step forward and kind of like toss back her hood, you know, to be like, all right, here I am. But do we really need to be in front of everybody? Can't we take this elsewhere? And she's trying to persuade him to, like, these people don't need to see whatever is about to happen. They've seen enough.
How dare you lecture me on the safety of the common folk? You of all people. Marley Craff, Bamfor Watt, Trestle Spoon Durr. You unleash chaos and destruction everywhere you go. You have no right to lecture me about the lives of these pathetic worms.
Well, thank you very much. First and foremost, I'm glad to be recognised. It's not been easy.
It's been a long time since anybody thought about Trestle Spoon too, hasn't it, Bamfor?
It's very nice. Blast from the past, isn't it?
Actually.
Yeah. Anyway, mate. So what's going to happen now is we're probably going to cut you into pieces.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to do your little speech as to why you're here first, or did you just want to die?
Yeah, usually they tell us why before we...
Usually they die. But it's always nice to have a bit of a story first, you know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I do appreciate a good story time, especially if it's really good. I mean, I do have snacks. I've got apples.
Can anyone hear
you
right?
Want an apple?
Oh, I'm all right. Thank you very much. Can anyone hear right? I can't read, but if anyone wants to write down your little story, that's nice, because I'm just going to be over here waiting, because then I'll just cut you in half if that's fine with you, little man. All right.
I do have a bar shift, you know, and she's like looking at her nails. I do have a bar shift coming up soon. So it would be nice to get this done soon.
If you could just speed it up, because honestly, I was actually planning a poo today and you're slightly less important than that.
But I am genuinely curious as to what on earth we could have done to you.
Yeah, I mean, we've done so much to so many. It's odd for one person to try and, you know, make it personal.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd, really, frankly.
Honestly, it's quite rude.
Yeah,
before
I mean, the last conversation we had was like with a god.
Reflectively, Bamfor's hucking a half brick at random bystanders. So through this whole area, he's chucked about a half a dozen bricks at members of the crowd.
Actually trying to hit them or trying to push them back?
Yeah.
Marley's just
hammering bricks at women and children, eh?
Marley would have been walking in circles, gesturing to people to move. You know, so like while she's been talking, this whole time she's been like, go, go, go.
Bamfor's just been nailing people in windows with bricks and just like people.
That would also get people to move away. Like, frankly, we're probably clearing the square between the two of us, me going, go, you know, trying to persuade people to leave, and then you hucking half bricks. We've probably cleared some area.
Are there many people left in the square?
There are still lots of people, but he responds to what you're doing, and he says, oh, you do care about their safety, then fine, how about this? And he just hurls a large fireball at a section of crowd, and let's see. 13 people go up in flames, and then a whole lot of people scatter, and the radius grows.
Bamfor claps and laughs and says, oh, you're a lot more fun than I thought. Do that again.
If you insist.
No.
Yep, another batch of like 14 people
go
up.
Marley would never have let that happen. Marley would have tried to cast Crown of Madness straight away.
Okay, that sounds like it's initiative then.
Yeah.
If you would... Four has also at this point muttered that he likes pancakes, and flying from... Did we say that the shield will find me wherever, or it has to be close by?
I think we established that it needs to be on your person, but right. I like the idea of it flying to you.
From the Vice District, just knocking folks out of the way. and just start slowly orbiting him.
Okay. Before the initiative begins, he does answer the question that you asked before you kept talking. When you said, you said, why? Like, tell us your story. Why are you here before we kill you? And he responds with, before I wipe you from the face of Ison as retribution for your crimes, I feel it prudent to tell you exactly why you're going to meet your demise today. Look around you. The city of Stonemore in ruins. A colony of fire giants and ogres wiped out. The town of Kerim burned to ashes. The town of Sorm heaving with refugees. The concert in Dantonair. Yes, you remember that, don't you? That concert you organized. I certainly do. My whole life, I scrimped and saved to own my own food wagon business. A poor orphan who arose on the streets to give himself a future. I starved and I struggled so that my dream could live. That concert was going to be my big opening. A large hungry crowd, the best opening a food wagon could hope for. But you tore it to shreds. You murdered a priest. You whipped that crowd into a frenzy of drug-addled maniacs. You destroyed my wagon, and you obliterated my dream. While the riot grew more and more intense, I stood stone still, seething with rage and hatred. You killed my dream. Oh, my hatred must have been strong. So strong that a powerful spirit attached itself to me that day. It gave me immense power and a singular task. Vengeance against the Apple Squaddeth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you finished?
Sorry, mate. Were you...
I think you lost me in the middle there. I started thinking about the concert and how much fun that was. Do you remember how fun that was, Bamford? We ran across the crowd and we were, like, jumping on people's heads and stuff and shoulders. Remember how we, like, hit that food cart and it fell over and it, like, smashed every...
Honestly, I don't.
I mean, if you just wanted money, all you had to do was ask. And she's, like, jingling
her money
purse. Yeah, what do you want? Purse,
yeah,
like...
what do you want a couple of dollars? You hungry, mate?
Yeah, Marley, I mean, we could have helped you out with that.
Marley, he's going to throw a fireball at you, so roll initiative.
Okay, because I am actually preparing Crown of Madness.
Bamfor, if we're pre-initiative, has entered a rage.
Yep, okay.
Oh, that's a nat 20, bro.
Oof, nice. I only got a 17.
He got a 19.
This dude just gets fucking whipped. It's going to be real fucking sad.
Kind of funny, though.
I don't think he's going to get completely whipped if he's got a demon on his ass. And it is just you and me, so we need to work together on this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, me, I'll help you guys too. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, Swift! Put the fire out, would you, buddy?
Cool, so Banfor, you're up first. What do you do?
Cool, so Banfor, in a rage already, does what he does. And with his axe sword... charges and makes his three attacks.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, I'm gonna do something to this guy's head with a fucking lightning cock, I tell you that right now.
I think that still has one charge.
It sure do. Okay, here we go. Three attacks coming in. Those are all terrible. Okay. Two 15s that I'm going to go ahead and re-roll one of with a luck point.
Okay.
Nice. So that's now a 15, a... So I'm used to doing combat math in this. A 15, a 23, and a 22.
That's three hits.
That 15 hit. Ah, yep. Use that point for no reason. Okie dokie. He must have a big weller thing. All right, so that's 3d12 plus 9 plus 2 plus 2. Is that right?
Yeah.
So that's 3d12 plus 15.
Yep.
Cool.
Shit. Beast.
Yeah, I know, right? That's brutal. So that's 11 and 9, so that's 35 damage.
Nice. Okay. Cool. And since you are in close proximity to him, you take 6 piercing damage as spikes sort of shoot out from his body in all directions and then shoot back in.
Cool. So that's 3 damage because of my resist.
Okay, cool. And now it's his turn. Dun dun. Okay, a 24.
What is he attacking with?
He is swiping out at you with attacks that you don't really see what they are. But I'm just rolling the die first. 24, 19, and 8.
So that's one hit.
No, the 19 misses.
Yeah, my armor class 20.
Okay, so what he does is he slashes out at you with his hands, but you feel spirity type claws slashing through you. Mm. You don't see claws, but you definitely feel claws. For 9 slashing damage.
So that's 4 damage, yeah.
Yep, and you also feel a sort of tail whip sort of thing, but it doesn't hurt you. It sort of bounces off your shield. And now it's Marley.
Okay. I'm not going to Crown of Madness because the attack's already happened. There's not a lot of point. He's already attacking Bamfor. So I'm going to cast, as my bonus action, I'm going to do
Crown of Thorns? Hail of Thorns.
Crown of Thorns, yeah. My bonus action, I'm going to do Hail of Thorns, and then I'm going to try and fire my bang bang crossbow.
Yep. Bang bang. Okay. Yeah.
Ooh, 15 plus 8, apparently. Jesus, when did I get so beefy? I've forgotten that I'm, actually all right stats. So,
yeah, Ranger.
23 on the crossbow.
Yep.
So that's a hit, because I'm hitting him with both of them. So yep,
2 bolts plus your Hail of Thorns.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Third level is
3d10. Third level.
May as well. Play to win. Okay, so what did I say? 12 plus a 6 plus a 6 is another 12 plus 4. So 16 plus 12 is 28.
Yeah. Okay, sweet, and we are back round to Banfall.
I'm just going to keep doing damage because it feels like he's going to soak a lot, and we've probably got a fairly either a big pull or a big resist to get through.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hammer away, and it looks like he's got a pretty low AC, so, you know, let's tango. Again, 3 attacks coming in.
So he's completely unarmored. He looks like just a commoner.
All right, cool. Clothes. So that's a 17, a 24, and a 23.
That's 3 hits again. Roll your 3d12 plus 15.
Yeah. 9, 15, 27 plus 15, so 42.
Holy moly. Okay. Yep. And since you're still in proximity to him, you again take 6 piercing from spikes that sort of shoot out of him and shoot back in.
Great.
Before he has his turn. And he's going to hurl 2 fireballs straight at Marley. Just sort of lobbing them at a distance. That's a 19 and a 24.
Yeah, my AC is 15. Both hit.
Okay. So I'm rolling 6d6. Oh, it's only 17.
Okay.
No roll, 17 fire damage. Okay, and now it's Marley's turn.
Can I just do a check on, like, whether I think... Because he told us there was a demon bonded to him.
He said powerful spirit, but yeah.
Yeah, powerful spirit, sorry. Can I do some kind of check just to see if Marley would know if there was a way to unbind?
To be honest, I don't think you would know.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like the kind of thing Marley would know unless by some fluke she had just studied the right thing.
No, and that's fair enough. I just thought I'd ask because I was like, this guy's probably not in his own mind and I don't have anything to be able to, you know, get through that. So I'm feeling kind of stink about that. But, you know, c'est la vie. Cool, I'm just going to just do the same thing again. Bonus of Hail of Thorns. It's only a 12, but with my plus 8, it's still a 20.
That's definitely a hit.
13 plus 3 fours. 3 fours is 12.
12. So 25?
So 20, yeah. So I just want it noted that is magical damage, just in case.
Yep, I know. I'm both of your weapons I count as magical damage.
Does it look like we're hitting him much? Like, can we see?
Oh yeah, he's getting pelted with arrows and he's getting like axe slashes all over him.
Yeah, because I've got like waves of arrows flying at him.
Oh yeah, these things are like definitely ripping through him. It does look like he's not all that bothered by getting, like, he's like bleeding all over the cobblestones, but he's not, it doesn't look like he's hurting.
Mm.
Like experiencing hurt.
That's my worry. Okay.
Banthor.
Back to me. With increasing awareness that he's just hit what looks like an average man 5 times very hard with an axe. Banfor redoubles his efforts and tries stabbing him with the sword now, more than anything. Just really going to try and jam him through and just rip him into pieces. So here we go with 3 attacks. 21, 23... and 9, but I'm gonna go ahead and luck that 9 and roll it again.
Okay.
And that comes out in an 8.
Okay. So
because fuck me, I guess. Cool. Oh, no, that's rage, not luck. Ooh,
2. Yeah, 2 hits. So that's 2d12 plus 10.
2d12 plus 10. 3. So 19 this time. Wow.
Okay.
Scattershot.
Okay, so yeah, you pierce right through his abdomen and it like comes out and looks exactly like you've, you know, mortally wounded a human man. But he just grits his teeth and looks at you just with anger and hatred. And you take another 6 piercing damage from spikes that shoot out of him and back in. And then he's going to, through his gritted teeth, say to you, Banfor, oh, it's time I ended this. With a nat 20, a 18, and a 22.
So one matches and one surpasses. So does Defender win in the case of a match, or?
Nope, meets beats.
Meets beats, okay, so that's 2 hits.
Yeah, so you got a 22 and a nat 20. So he slashes out at you with claws that you feel but don't see. For 7 slashing damage.
Cool. Comes down to 3.
And with the tail, whipping tail that you feel but don't see is Ooh, okay. For 17 slashing damage. Oh, hang on. Is the tail slashing or is it piercing? Piercing, sorry.
Resistant to both.
Yeah, it shoots out at you and it pierces through your skin.
Cool. That comes down to 8 for me.
How are you looking, Bamfor? Like, in terms of...
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah, not all that.
No, yeah. I just meant because obviously we're not supposed to know, like, numbers, but, like, are you looking particularly bloody or...?
Less than a third down.
Yeah. You will have scattered some blood around the cobblestones, though, like, been noticeably wounded, but...
Marley is getting very frustrated and she's screaming at him. There's no need for this. Throw off the spirit that has got you acting like crazy and just let's talk about this as she's still casting a spell.
So what? Wait, what? What is your action to just say those words?
No, that's just like my bonus action say or my movement action say. Like that's the kind of time I'm using to do it. And then I'm going to cast a cloud of daggers at like second level, which just is centered on the point where he is standing fighting Bamfor. And by the way, I lied to Bamfor before. He totally doesn't take damage. I was just annoyed at Bamfor kill stealing. And so he had to take damage.
Who doesn't take damage?
You don't. If I center the spinning daggers on him, it's just his square.
Oh.
Yeah. You don't have to take damage to step in to attack him. I was just
okay, so
before.
So do you create it on his square?
Yeah, pretty much. And so he only actually takes the damage when he enters it for the first time or if he starts his turn there. So when he starts his turn, he takes damage.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I'll deal with that later. Yeah.
Okay, and now we're back round to Bamfor.
Bloodied, but still bullish. Bamfor resumes his attack. I don't think that I'll be able to stop him from attacking me if I grapple him, is my concern.
Yeah, because he's got spikes.
Because I'm still going to take passive damage. And I also, the only ranged attack that I have is javelins, and those are really fucking weak by comparison to all my other stuff.
Also, he does now have this dagger forming around him slowly. Mm.
So I will attack him thrice mass. Yeah, those are all convincing hits. One nat 20 in there as well.
Wow, okay.
So those are all definite hits. So it's a 19, a 20, and a 17.
Yeah, so that's 4d12 plus 15.
Cool. Plus 20, yeah?
No.
No, not on the bonus. So 6, 16, 25, 32 plus 15, so
47. Holy cow. Yeah, you just, do the...
Just chunking them.
These three brutal strikes. And he actually sort of wavers a little bit, and like one of his knees sort of falters, but then he stands back up straight. And spikes shoot out of him, and you take 6 more piercing from those. And then he says, enough! And let me just quickly look up a spell, because for some reason I didn't write it down.
Don't say it's polymorph. I hate polymorph.
He turns into a dragon. No.
Or eyebite? Is it eyebite? Killer eyebite or eyebite or something like that? I have discovered I really do not like that spell.
Oliver, roll a constitution save.
19.
Damn it. So this man, he opens up his mouth and this spray of something shoots out of his mouth and it sort of surrounds you and it smells noxious and a bit like poisony, but you're not negatively affected by it.
Bamfor wipes him off his cheek and tastes it.
And then he puts his hand out right in front of your face and just blasts a fireball in your face. And that's a 23.
To hit.
Yep.
Nice.
Like splash damage. I know he doesn't.
Yeah. That's 12 fire damage in your face.
So I have resist, so again 6.
Yep.
Cool, so I'm getting down around half.
And now Marley. You will have noticed him take a knee then, like, falter.
It was his turn too, so he took 4 d4.
Oh, yes. Yep, he also...
cloudy damage.
Yep.
So Bamfor's hair and eyebrows and eyelashes are pretty thoroughly blasted off the front of his head.
He took 10 damage just from the cloud of daggers that is around him now.
Okay, cool.
So that's a concentration spell, so I'm just going to concentrate
just
on
leave
it,
it,
I guess.
Just leave it. Okay, I will retcon the end of his turn to, because I forgot about the cloud of daggers, that during his turn he steps backwards out of it.
Okay.
Because no sane person would just stand there in it.
Well, I was kind of thinking he might be insane. And might just stay there fighting Bamfor in order to...
So there's now a cloud of daggers between Bamfor and this man.
Correct.
Yes, but if I saw that, I would drop it. Because it's just concentration. So if I don't concentrate on it, it just dissipates. So I'm like, okay, so he's not crazy. He does want to save himself. He's not just... Well, he is crazy, but he's like, you know, he's like trying to get through this without dying, right? Mm. That's my conclusion to this. So Marley's going to do something really dumb and use her turn to try and persuade him to stop.
I'm going to tell you right now that this man he has pursued you across the kingdoms for one singular purpose of vengeance.
No, I
persuading,
know.
Persuading
is that
him
the spirit or the man? Because I want to persuade the spirit. Yeah. Like, if you're any kind of, like, you know, like, decent spirit, you'll come out and fight us yourself kind of thing and leave this poor man alone.
Okay. I will let you try to persuade the spirit, but I will tell you right now, the difficulty of that is going to be 22.
Okay. All right.
Don't Although with your... Actually, I forgot you've got such high persuasion. 25. Uh-huh. 25.
I've got a plus 11.
So that's a 14 or better.
What's that?
14, you've got to get.
14 or better. Come on, dice. This is the be-all roll. Fuck you, seven, so much. God damn it. I really wanted that.
Oh, thank God something's gone Brad's way.
That's not my way. The story could go anyway.
Yeah, that's why I was just like, Marley would want to try and save him. She would want to try.
Yeah, she so can't. You use your turn to give this, like, sort of heartfelt plea of, like, of
like,
what?
Leave
of
him,
like,
alone. Leave him out of this. Stop using him as some sort of meat puppet and come out here and fight us yourself.
Oh, but Ben fuels me and I power him. We have a somewhat of a symbiotic relationship.
Well, shit. And Marley looks at Bamfor and sings a little song. Well, I tried Bamfor, so I'm gonna give you inspiration now just in case. La 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 la.
Now smash him in his face.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I can add a d6 to any d20 roll.
Ability check, attack roll, or saving throw.
Yeah,
Yep, cool. So it's Banfor's turn again. You are now standing, with a cloud of daggers between the two of you.
Can we say that dropped?
Oh, yeah. It'll be dissipating in progress.
All right. Banfor jukes around it and comes in from a sideways attack with all of his attacks. So that's all passes. The lowest there is 18.
Okay. That's 3 hits.
1, 12, so 14, so 29 damage.
Oh boy. You slash this human body to pieces, and blood, like, splatters all over the cobblestones, and he does fall to the ground, but he's on his hands and knees, and he looks up at you, and just this burning hatred in his eyes, and says, "Oh, I'm not done yet, man. What?" And spikes shoot out of him, and you take 6 more piercing.
Taken.
Okay. And give me a moment.
This just... is how we do it.
It's Friday night, I feel alright.
So he looks up at you with hatred, and he says that we're not done yet. And he sort of shrinks slightly for a second, like his form sort of contracts inward a little bit, and then in a violent burst bursts outward. And I want both of you to roll a con save, and the crowd rolls a con save too and failed, or have you know.
Flat 19. Okay. So 23.
Okay.
I can tell you it's not great.
What
I
is
should
it?
Have probably cast Bardic Inspiration on myself right now, because I rolled a 12 and my con is just plus 2. So.
Okay. So, here's what's going to happen now. Can you hear the dice?
If it's a charm thing, I have advantage.
It's not.
And technically, I should never have been knocked out by the Wall of Force, because I can't be put to sleep by magic. Just saying.
Okay, so Marley...
Hardly Wittgenstein learned the hard way at the Necropodicon.
Marley takes 37 cold damage.
Woo! Shit!
Hell's teeth.
And Banfor takes half of that, so 18 cold damage, and then which you would half again.
Yes,
I'm standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a bunch of people in the crowd get affected by it too, and sort of scream in horror as like some people freeze solid and fall over and shatter.
Yep.
It's just Molly this blast of freezing cold air. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, he just lies there, or he like. Hands and knees in his own blood, sort of panting and heaving and wheezing on the cobblestones.
Molly wants to walk over and kick him in the head.
Okay.
Is it your turn?
It is her turn.
Oh, good. You can do that then.
Yep, that's what she wants to do. She wants to kick him in the head. So, you absolute asshole. Banfor, if I go down. This was worth it.
What are your hit points?
12 right now.
Okay.
The fuck is a num-num strike? Oh yeah, there we go. I assume that's what you're going to make me do. Nice, I rolled a 19 though.
It hits him.
Plus 2.
Because he's prone as well, so you get advantage. So.
I don't know what that does. There we go. It's a 1 plus your strength modifier. So you know what that is?
2.
Brad, do you want to know what that wonderful total
is?
Is
it 0?
Yep.
you got a minus 1?
Yep.
Okay, so you... Here's what happens there. You kick him, and he just goes, oof, and then spikes come out of him, and you take 6 piercing damage.
Worth it. I kicked him in the head. I'm all about the roleplay, bitches!
And now Banfor.
Banfor is
got
holes poked all through him. All of his hair's been burned off of his head, except for the very back of it. So he's got a burn mullet. And he's just been frozen, so he's not best pleased. So he's going to look at his prone assailant and just hack at him with his axe thrice.
Okay, he has 3 hit points left.
Hack at him thrice.
So if you hit him at least once, he's gone.
I've hit him
just unarmed strike him. So I punch him and I kick him in the head, and you just punch him.
Banfor, with a boot as his bonus action, gently pushes him onto his back, steps up onto his chest, and with his other boot heel, brings it down on his forehead in an unarmed strike.
Boot stomp!
Well, two unarmed strike because I use my remaining bonus action because I'm in a rage.
He's prone, so you get advantage.
Cool. Okay, so one of those was useful. The other one was a... Oh, yeah, so both of those hit a 15.
Okay. But you've still got my bardic, don't you, anyway, just in case?
But... I don't really need it. That'll be fine. And then my unarmed strike anyway is a 4 plus 6, so...
Well, yep. He's a goner, so...
Yeah,
describe the way that you end Ben Edwards, the food wagon operator out for vengeance.
Looks down at him with just cold reptile eyes and just says, "Shame, these were nice boots," and then stamps through his face.
Nice. That's deliciously wicked. His skull crunches under your boot, and there's this horrifying squelch of blood and viscera that splats out, and you hear this sort of whisper on the wind at that moment of his death, "Vengeance," and then sort of fades on the wind.
Banfor throws a brick at the wind.
And Mali thunderwaves it to give it more like oomph at the wind.
Okay, so you do that. A brick gets thunderwaved, up into the air and outward?
Yeah, deliberately this time not aiming the thunderwave at the brick, pushing with the brick. So the brick doesn't need to roll a con save this time.
Yep.
The brick can just...
Can it still?
The brick gets propelled?
Yeah. Okay, so it'll roll even faster. It's more force behind it.
Okay, the brick got a 14 on its con save, which I'd say is high enough to not get torn to shreds by the thunderwave. As the brick gets propelled upward and outward, and you two follow its trajectory, you notice a figure coming towards you in the sky. It's just a silhouette against the setting sun at this point. But as it gets closer, you notice it definitely has wings, and it's quite large. And flapping its large wings, you hear this woof, woof, woof sound, and then coming into view is, hang on a minute, is that a giant grey wolf with huge eagle wings?
Oh my god!
What is that? It soars into the fray and it clumsily lands in amongst this ring of people right next to you, its claws sort of hitting the cobblestones, a bit unsure as if it's never landed before. And then it makes an angry growl at this crowd, like swinging its head back and forward, growling at this crowd of onlookers who all scatter. And that's the end of the episode.
The Hodgesis.
What was that?
Ugh. World of Warcraft, eat your heart out, hey?
Hodge 2.0 has stats. I will send them through to you when I can. For all intents and purposes, he now understands Common in full. He cannot speak, however.
That's all right, because I still have speak with animals.
Yeah, he can fly, and he can. You can still use him as an animal companion instead of doing your turn, and he is much stronger than he was before.
There's Squishy Hodge. So excited.
He's not Squishy Hodge anymore. He's Big Hodge. He's like the size of a horse.
Yeah, is he like druid size Hodge, kind of?
He's big enough that you could both ride him.
That is some tasty shit, Brent. So good.
Don't say I don't do nothing for my players.
For my players.
For my play. I thought I was going to have to get out my Song of Doom there for a second. I was genuinely considering it. I was like, bloody human. Like, you know, who's just pissed off about his food cart, and I'm going to bring out my full-on saxophone Song of Doom.
That whole story, that whole villain was given to me by one of our newest Patreon donors, Ben Edwards. When I asked
him... Reminds me of the cabbages guy from Avatar Legend of Aang.
Yeah.
My cabbages!
I asked Ben if he had any ideas or preferences for an NPC named after him, and he was like, can it be an enemy? And I was like, yeah, what level of enemy? Like a mild annoyance in the marketplace or like a proper foe? And he was like, oh, I've got an idea.
Ben, this was brilliant. I loved every second of
fantastic.
It. And I did try and save you, sort of. Like, I really tried. But, no, you had to die. Sorry.
You wouldn't listen. And I didn't ask, but you wouldn't listen.
Whoa, what a great enemy. Thank you, Ben Edwards, for providing us with a foe that we will not forget. And Hodge is back, baby. He's big, he's got wings, and he's still a pretty good boy. I mean, he's no Foxworthy. Like, when are we going to get Foxworthy back in the mix? But Hodge is pretty alright. Big what-ups to our awesome supporters over on Patreon. Thanks to Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino, Wiring Cucci, Laura Christine Goodwin, James Blyster, Sajay Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Zegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm, Kydron Fowles, Lauren Flake, Kai Diela, Rihanna Kvaltsek, Kevin Swift, and Ben Edwards. If any of the rest of you want to show your support for the show, please feel free to check out the rewards on offer over at patreon.com/fateofison. Or just drop us a review or hit us up on social media to say hi. The socials are all at fateofison. Or you could email fateofison@gmail.com, or head on over to the Necropodicon Network Discord server to chat with us in real time. There's a link to that on our website, fateofison.com, as well as cast profiles, fan art, and links to our wiki. See you next time, y'all, with the return of Hodge and the introduction of a very fun new player character. Bum, bum, bum. See you then.
Are you a filmmaker or someone who enjoys independent film? Then check out the Indie Film Review for an in-depth look at all the latest indie films you probably never heard of.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll have a real good time. Eh? Get it, Dan? Real good time?
Jared, I'm quitting the podcast.